You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. A brother and sister are arrested for an iPyramid spyware crime spree that may have been in progress since 2010. Ukraine confirms that Kyiv's power grid was hacked last month, and the Ukrainian government tries to tide over some influence operations of its own. Policy wonks talk information operations, and some realize that such ops aren't new. The peace sign hack joins the gummy bear hack as a challenge to biometric authentication, and Hamas goes catfishing. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Thursday, January 12, 2017. Two Italian citizens, a brother and a sister, Giulio Occhionero and Francesca Maria Occhionero, both on the downhill side of 45 and therefore old enough to know better, have been arrested for hacking high-profile Italian figures and at least one high-profile cardinal in the Vatican. An international operation reeled them in. Giulio was born in Italy and Francesca in the United States. Both were residing in London but domiciled in Rome. Italian police made the collar. The siblings faced trial in Italy. And the FBI seized the Dropbox servers to which the pair are alleged to have deposited stolen data. That alleged reminds us that this is a good point to offer the routine disclaimer that, of course, persons accused of a crime are entitled to a presumption of innocence, at least on this side of the Atlantic. Their lawyers, at any rate, say the Occhioneros didn't do it. Sure, Giulio owned some of those American servers, but the lawyers point out that's just because he does business in the U.S. The incident draws attention to the malware used in the caper. A security researcher tipped off police when he received an email purporting to be from a lawyer that contained malware. Trend Micro has been taking a look at the spyware. It's being called iPyramid, and they say it's a data exfiltration tool delivered as the payload of a malicious email attachment. In the case under investigation, iPyramid is said to have been used to siphon off more than 87 gigabytes of data, which Trend Micro says includes usernames, passwords, browsing data, and file system content. Whether the Occhioneros prove innocent or not, it looks as if the spyware campaign they stand accused of running had been in progress since 2010. Those behind the crime appear to have been interested principally in political and financial information about Italian political figures, and also in similar information about some bankers and Vatican officials. The hackers' motives in all this are unclear. They could be political, but Italian police think they were financial. How the information might have been monetized isn't discussed in early reports. According to the BBC, Ukrainian officials have confirmed that this past December's power outages in the vicinity of that country's capital were caused by a cyber attack. Investigators see the same actors behind the 2016 blackout in Kyiv that they saw behind the 2015 blackout in Ivano-Frankivsk, which means, of course, that they're seeing Russians. Investigators also suggest, as they did in the aftermath of the 2015 hacks, that this incident could be a dress rehearsal for something much bigger. The Ukrainian government, Politico reports, is also quietly trying to mend fences with the incoming U.S. administration after evidently having conducted some quiet, minor influence operations of its own on behalf of the president-elect's opponent. Those appear to have been conducted relatively casually and without the high-level attention and direction the U.S. intelligence community perceives in Fancy Bear's prance through the Democratic National Committee. Minor and quiet as they may have been, the alleged operations are instructive. Influence operations are nothing new. Foreign policy and security intellectual types are busily reviewing other cases of propaganda, disinformation, forgery, provocation, and the like. Many consumers of old and new media are receiving these unsurprising stories as surprises. By the way, President-elect Trump has also said he now thinks the Russians hacked the DNC. He's still mad about BuzzFeed's stories of compromise. So be prepared for what incidents might come your way. If you're planning to be around Norfolk, Virginia the first week in February, and if you think you might be hungry, say noonish, take a look at our event sponsor RSAM's Lunch and Learn session on security incident response. SANS instructor Alyssa Torres and RSAM CISO Brian Timmerman will feed your mind as lunch feeds your body. See the event tracker at thecyberwire.com for information. Biometric technology has for some time been a leading light in efforts to replace passwords for authentication, but that light may be something of a will-of-the-wisp. You may recall the gummy bear hack in which the mark's fingerprints are stolen when the mark handles a toothsome but sticky piece of candy, then for some reason puts it back. This always struck us as a bit of a garbage hack, entertaining sure, but more parlor trick than serious risk. Researchers at Japan's National Institute for Informatics, however, may be onto something more disturbing, the peace sign hack. A digital image, from a mark's incautious selfie perhaps, is used to copy the mark's fingerprints. It's a lot quicker and a lot less sticky. It's been shown in the past that the eye's iris can be matched from a photo, so the peace sign hack may bear watching. In industry news, Arxan Technologies has bought security shop Appirion, and cyber startup InfoSight gets a $3.4 million Series A funding round. Finally, Hamas is reported to be using catfish as honey traps to install spyware on Israeli soldiers' smartphones. The winsome catfish promised video chats with predictably lovelorn troops. Alas, soldiers, you're going to get malware with that chat, and maybe not much chat either. The IDF thinks the damage was minimal, but with the troops, one never knows. We once heard a general of U.S. Marines lament the misguided initiative of a lance corporal who thought it a good idea to recharge his Samsung Galaxy by plugging it into Cippernet. So all you sergeants and company-grade officers out there, in the IDF and indeed in every army in the world, if you want to keep them out of trouble, keep them busy. You may remember the movie Stripes, where Ox, one of our favorite characters, found himself having to explain just what happened when the men found themselves out for a little extracurricular activity.
Well, sir, we were going to the bingo parlor at the YMCA. Well, one thing led to another, and the instructions got all fouled up there, and we ended up... Shut up. Okay, sir.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And I'm joined once again by Israel Mirsky. He's a research project manager at the Ben-Gurion University Cybersecurity Labs. You've got some interesting research that involves the use of some exploit and vulnerability databases.
That's right. So a vulnerability database is a platform used to collect, maintain, and disseminate information about discovered vulnerabilities. And there are many different kinds of vulnerability databases available to the public, such as the NVD National Vulnerability Database, maintained by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So different from all these other common vulnerability databases is a database called the ExploitDB, which is maintained by Offensive Security. And they collect actual malware code written in high-level languages, such as in C or in Java. And this is different from other databases or dumps of malwares which are obtainable, which are the actual raw machine code or the compiled code. So here you have little excerpts of the malware code written in the original language. Typically, you can use this code to kind of run it and see if you can find holes in your systems and pen testing what's called, referred to as white hat hacking. But we thought, why don't we use this high-level code in the exploit database to assist us in detecting or discovering new malware trends? So as opposed to, again, the pre-compiled code you find in other databases, the high-level code contains all sorts of different semantics that help you better capture the intent or the objective of the malware author. So I'll give you an example. So if you look at some sort of code that performs a buffer overflow, in the machine code, you can track where the pointers are heading and where what the malware is trying to accomplish. But looking at the high-level code, you can see what the names of the variables are and what libraries are perhaps being used. And just the fact that the malware author called his variable buffer may indicate some sort of usage of his code. And again, of course, you know, once it's compiled, this information is lost because the compiler doesn't need that for any reason. So what we did is we extracted a data set from ExploitDB's C code samples, and we built a whole data set based off these kinds of semantic features. And we used a self-organizing map, which is kind of like a neural network for clustering, to try and discover different kinds of patterns and trends of malware over the last few years. Because in the exploit database, we know when the malware was published, we know what kind of malware it is because it's all been labeled. And then we try and get an understanding of sort of kind of different trends, when different malwares were more popular, what perhaps is the next up-and-coming malware, and so on and so forth. So that's the kind of ongoing research that we're very interested in, trying to see how we can use exploit database to try and not just see trends, but also help us build better predictors and to detect different malwares that may come out in the future.
Israel Mirsky, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.